Blog Talk
Hello,
Radio.
Hello. Once again, it's the Tiebreaker Radio Show, brought to you by AZ Studios. Got another episode for y'all. I'm calling this the awkwardly second episode. Everybody's back again, and without further ado, since it appears I'm late, let's get everybody in on the line. Start off with the 8627. Line is open.
Oh, man. It's the number one unofficial ESPN sports analyst himself, Tay Allen, here for your comic relief and your sports updates.
All right. Welcome, my brother. Let's get another one in here. 5975. Your line is open and you live.
It's Ryan. No games, no practice. Let's get to business.
Word, 100. Next up, 6044. Your line is open.
Yo, what it ain't. It's your boy Chris, man. Let's get it going.
Big C in the house for the first time. All right. Last but not least, 1229. Your line is open.
Yeah, you know, he's the boy Meek, you know what I mean? Hold it down to 1-6, a.k.a. Black Superman. Don't know how I became fourth when this other dude just started, but you know what I'm saying? We're going to go ahead and go on with the show.
And you'll get my first mute of the day. You don't ask no questions here. You just follow the rules and follow the directions. I'm going to open everybody's lines up for the first time today.
All right.
I'm going to get started on the... Straight into the topics today. We left off on NFL, so I'm going to do it a little backwards. I told y'all the topics was, I just want to throw y'all off a little bit. We're going to start off with the NFL. The draft is coming up, offseason in full swing. The combine just went on, still going on, I do believe. We got a lot of free agency to talk about, too. You know, a lot of things moving around. We're still waiting to see if Peyton is going to do his thing. My first question to you all is, you know, what is the relevance of the NFL Combine? Do y'all see it as something that's really important as far as NFL players are concerned, NFL teams are drafting their players, or do you think it's something more overblown? And we have started well, with one to pick up.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and start that. Since I got to visit the Combine, you know, this weekend, you'll get to see some of these prospects out here. I think it's way overblown. I think it's, you know, it's cool to see, you know, just a couple of things, a 40, you know, just a couple of movements or whatever the case may be. But as far as really all this extra stuff that they're doing, all this just one-on-one type of drills, like, that ain't really going to do nothing. They was in the college football doing anything. And going against actual teams, actual players, different teams, you know, different players, it's going to be the same thing with the NFL. Man, get them, you know, look at their tape, get them in on your team, practice, let's go. So it's overblown.
Word, 100. Ryan, let me get your opinion on it. I know we were discussing the combine earlier, talking about maybe 40 times, and I heard that Joey Bosa really didn't do that good as far as his 40 time out of the last few edge rushers.
Well, I think that is has a relevancy, but it shouldn't make or break you, because I mean, if you've been performing at a high rate your whole season, your whole career, and then you get to the combine and you might have nerves going, or you just don't run a good time. If I've been burning past everybody this whole year, you go tell me that this one combine is gonna define me? I don't think that that's right. So I think that it has relevancy, but I don't think that it should. It just really makes or break somebody when it comes to them being drafted.
Word. I kind of feel the same way as well. You know, something that's not a make or break for a player. I get it. Meeks, go ahead and jump in on this. I know you've been itching since you don't want to go last. Go ahead and get in on it.
Okay. I appreciate it, Spike Lee. What I just want to say is, I think the combine, I think it is overblown. I think it's a way for, like, maybe some other player that's not well-known to, like, boost themselves up, like a Dree Archer last year. People who are, like, speedy guys, you know, if you can, you know, wow the people at the combine, you can boost your draft stock. So I think it's good for them, but I think it's overblown. Drills are never transformed over to the field. You know, Mike Tyson said it best. Everybody got a plan so they get punched in the mouth, you know, so. I mean, you can do all that stuff in the drills, but, you know, if somebody hits you over the middle, it's a big difference. That 4-2 ain't going to do nothing when you're getting planted in the dirt. So, you know, it's a little bit overdone.
Sure, indeed. You mentioned Dree Archer, Kent State alum. He's still in the league, right?
Yeah, I think for Pittsburgh. It might be his last year of his deal, though.
Word. So let's get my man Big C in on it. I know he's been talking about it today, too. Let's get him in. Welcome to the show for the first time, Chris. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. You know, glad to be on here for the first time. And, you know, I just want to kind of piggyback off what my colleague said. You know, I mean, I look at it more as a glorified guidelines because, you know, scouts want to see what they can do. And like my colleague, Mish Elegant, just said, I mean, a lot of that didn't translate over into the actual field. I mean, you do run the 40 dash, how often you don't get a chance to cut loose and run 40 yards like that all the time. So, I mean, it gives scouts a chance to see what they can do, see what their max potential is. But, you know, should it make or break you? No, I don't think so.
All right, word 100. I'm going to do a last little comment section. I'll let this be a free-for-all on the NFL side of the game. Who do y'all think did probably help themselves the most as far as the combine was concerned? Just one player, maybe. Go ahead, anybody.
I think the person that helped themselves the most, ironically, is the person that got hurt, Cardale Jones. He didn't really get to throw. He didn't really get to do anything. So, like, people who still have questions are still going to have those questions. So, like, I think that more than likely he'll end up going to a team where he can go behind somebody and learn and actually get picked up by a good team. And I think he actually is going to do something in the league.
Oh, that's interesting. So, addition by subtraction, he helped himself by not showing that much?
Pretty much.
I kind of wanted to say, probably touch on Braxton Miller, you know, I really thought that he was going to post a better 40 time than that 4.5. I thought he would have got closer to that 4.2 record that Chris Johnson got.
You say, what? This nigga Braxton.
I thought he was.
Braxton Miller wasn't running no 4.2s. He wasn't burning.
I thought
fast.
He was.
He was like,
I thought he would be fast.
No,
I
thought he
was
wasn't.
Fast,
he was just crafty.
I didn't.
Yeah, like, man, what was you watching?
I just thought he was faster than a 4.5.
A 4.5
isn't slow, though.
Yeah,
I know it's
a lot of those wide receivers was running 4.4s and 4.5s, so it's not slow, but he
almost
definitely isn't doing a 4.2 or 4.3.
Bro, you got to understand, he is a quarterback. Like, what quarterback do you know running? A lot of quarterbacks don't run 4.5. Only you probably compare him to, like, a Vic or somebody like that. But, bro, that's fast. 4.5 is pretty fast, especially for him
yeah.
to not going wide receiver.
Well, we're not comparing him to quarterbacks because he's not going in as a quarterback, is he?
No, but he's going in as a wide receiver, but still at his speed with other wide receivers who were team's number one wide receivers, they was running the same 40 that he was.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's understood. I just thought that he would be a little bit faster. Nothing more, nothing less. All right, moving on, though. Again, back to the NFL. Offseason is here. Like we said, you know, a lot of teams doing some rearranging. Probably the Panthers, probably the only team that's not doing as much revamping. The Patriots probably looking like they want to get a little more healthier. What team y'all think, what's a free agent y'all probably think going to land somewhere big? I hear a lot of people saying, some people going to the Raiders. There's a team moving back to L.A. pretty soon, so there's a lot of interesting points on that. Well, how do y'all feel about the Cleveland Browns? I know they could use a free agent right now.
I think Matt Forte gonna land somewhere big. I don't know exactly where, but I don't think he's just gonna go to some sorry team. For I think these good teams out here that could use a running back. Like, you know, I'm pretty sure everybody heard that, you know, everybody's saying that New England is a place that he might land. So I mean, I think he gonna definitely land somewhere big. As far as the Browns go, man, I keep my expectations for real, you know, until they actually do something. Because that whole getting every hype every year and excited every year that they're going to do something and that they're going to be better than the last year, then it don't never set you up really enough for a disappointment. So I'll wait till they actually do something and then make my comments about that.
All right, Meech, go ahead and touch on that. I want you to go next on this topic.
Okay, who's going to land somewhere big? I mean, it's a lot of big free agents. I don't think it's going to be a big free agent signing. I think that right now, I think the biggest thing that everybody's talking about is Kaepernick. But honestly, I think Chip Kelly needs the mobile quarterback, and I think that it's a lot of talk about it, but I don't think he's going to leave right now. I know he's dead. I think his agent is saying he's going to leave. But it actually is a lot of big name free agents out there, like Alshon Jeffries and a couple more. I mean, Von Miller, but I think a couple of them are going to get franchise tags. So I don't want to really speak on that because even though he might think they're going places, are able to be franchise tagged. So I think that, you know, I'm going to just observe it and just watch how that goes. But I think the people who I think should go other places, I don't think they'll be able to. So I'm going to go ahead and defer that to the next guy.
Big Chris, go ahead and jump in on that topic, man. I know we had a lot of conversations about Colin Kaepernick and I don't really trust Tay's opinion on that.
I mean, I'm going to skim the topic on Colin Kaepernick. We had that conversation the other day about whether he'd be a valid addition to the Browns or not. Me personally, I don't think so. I know a couple of my other colleagues feel otherwise. So everybody's entitled to their opinion. As far as big-name free agents, I agree with Meech. As far as saying that a lot of big names out there, but I don't see a lot of moves happening because of that. But we were discussing earlier, I'd be interested in Von Miller and what would make him stay in Denver because, you know, the Peyton retiring and whatnot. So I know we talked about the fact that, yeah, they got the number one defense and whatnot, but, you know, money does come play a role in that equation, and can Denver give him what he wants? So I'd be interested going forward to see how that plays out.
Right. Ryan, you think Von Miller going to stay in Denver? Do you think he got a better chance to, you know, make more money and win in Denver or maybe elsewhere?
I mean, I think he goes stay in Denver. I mean, I don't really see somebody at the level he's playing, him just going somewhere else. It looks like he likes the team that he's on, so I think he's going to stay. As far as the Browns are concerned, I'm not even going to speak on that because they need a lot of help. They need a lot of help. Couple free agents,
true,
a couple draft picks. And then as far as the player that I think is going to make a move, I'm going to bring it to my Florida boy down here, Doug Martin. He was second in rushing this year. Ever since he got healthy, he's been doing good. I think he's going to land with either Seattle to replace Lynch, or it might go down there to Dallas. They need a running back, too. So I think those are two good spots for him that he'll fit in and he could contribute to help them make a good playoff run.
I think Doug Martin's a really good player. Whoever picks him up, though, is really going to have a good team. Thank you all for going in on the NFL. We're going to switch it up a little bit because the reason I did that way is because I wanted to tackle the NBA last. I think the NBA was probably going to be our largest topic, and it's the one I want to go off air on. First thing, part of the NBA I wanted to jump on is that game the other night, that Golden State Thunder game. I kind of made a mistake, man. Last week we talked about MVPs. I said Russell was having a good enough season that he tied Steph Curry. And even though I don't agree with Steph Curry winning that MVP last year, I got to say after that game, he got it. He got it locked up. Somebody got to come and take the MVP from him after that. Dude playing ridiculous and out of his mind. So I want to ask y'all a question. What team besides the Warriors, the Spurs, the Thunder, and the Cavs, y'all think can make a good playoff run and maybe make it look like there's some competition in the NBA? whoever want to speak first, I'll let y'all go.
You know, I guess I'll start it off this time. I mean, as far as the team, but I'm kind of picking not really a dark horse as far as to make a play is the Raptors. And I mean, as far as the East right now, I'm looking at them as the only ones that can really go heads up with the Cavs as far as playing. I mean, that's a far fetch. You know, the Cavs is pretty much, you know, they're going right
but
now.
But do you think the
up,
Raptors can beat them in seven games? Do you think the Raptors can actually compete with the Cavs in seven games?
I think it'll be competitive. Do I think they'll beat them? No.
Word, 100. Ryan, go ahead and go next on that.
I mean, I think the team that probably has the best chance outside of the people that you name, I would have to go with the Clippers. I mean, Chris Paul is like one of the top point guards in the league. You got Blake. I think the addition that they made and picking up Green, like as far as the trade, I think that's going to end up helping them. I mean, I just outside of those teams, I mean, to me, that's the team that I think that could make the biggest push to try to beat somebody. They have the pieces. They just haven't made it over the top yet.
I personally think that if Blake was healthy and playing right now, the Clippers would probably be the team that can beat, that play, that can beat Golden State. Just me personally. And the only reason I say that is because of Chris Paul.
Yep.
Could be wrong, though. Tay, go ahead and go next on that. I know we had a good couple of comments about that earlier. Jonte, are you there?
Oh, my bad, bro. Yeah. I didn't even know who you said on that.
Was you going to the corner store or something?
Nah, man. I'm sitting here looking at stats right now, actually. No, but I'd honestly have to agree with Ryan on that, man. The Clippers, man, the way Chris Paul is playing right now, he playing like a new Chris Paul. He's like the old Chris Paul. Like, this year is definitely a way better year for him than it was last year. That addition of Jeff Green, I think we even touched on that in the last show, was that the addition of Jeff Green was probably the best addition to the trade deadline. I think he had 22 points the other night. So it's like, you know, Jeff Green is definitely helping out the team. I don't know so much, honestly. I'm starting to doubt if Blake Griffin is really even that much of a force, really, as far as this team is concerned and helping them get where they at. Like, I mean, the team been doing real good without him. Not saying that they do bad with him, but, you know, it's just kind of crazy to see that he go down and the team just kind of keep moving, if not, you know, even a step better. So I just got to say that.
Word. Two for the Clippers. Meach, go ahead and get in on that topic.
All right.
What team you think really can compete with the top four?
Yeah. I got this. So, I think that in the East, I think the surprise thing that people sleeping on, man, is the Pacers. You got somebody like Paul George, man, who would go off for 40 in the night. You know what I'm saying, with teams that don't play good defense, you know, that could change the scope of a game and everything. So, you know, that's my surprise team in the East, real, you know what I'm saying, just to look out for them. I think in the West, I would have to agree with them, the Clippers. I think that people are really undervaluing that Jeff Green acquisition. I think that that's a big acquisition where I think the squad play D on the perimeter. If people don't understand this, the NBA has turned into a perimeter game. If you can control the perimeter, you know, you have a better chance at winning. So if you have more size,
that is
more
true.
Athletic on the perimeter, you're able to control things, like, you know, more better. So I think that Jeff Green being on the Clippers is going to help them. I think that once Blake gets back comfortable in the offense after punching, you know what I'm saying, the water boy, you know what I'm saying, I think they'll be better off. But I think right now they're trying to get him back acclimated. And once that all gels, you know, I think that they'll be a force to be reckoned with. But honestly, I think ultimately, I think it's going to be San Antonio. But just watch out for the Clippers in the West. So.
Speaking of the Clippers, man, the Clippers are probably one of the few teams that are affected by our next topic that I wanted to get into, and that's the Hackershack rule, or the hacker Dwight, the hacker Jordan, whatever player that can't really shoot free throws in the NBA. This topic is close to me. I got everybody's lines open because I want everybody to jump in on their own will at this point. I hear that the commissioner, Adam Silver, they're going to go in, sit down with the owners, in the off season and discuss that rule. Maybe some outlandish things like the 4-point line, but I hear that the Hackachack rule is really going to be a point of emphasis as far as the competition committee is concerned, and I think they're going to start, you know, developing some penalties toward that. How do y'all really feel about the Hackachack rule?
I think that it would be the dumbest thing that the league could possibly do. I think that them trying to change too many rules, not just in the NBA, but in all these sports. But that's the dumbest thing. If a player can't make free throws, he can't make free throws. I'm going to use it to his advantage. That's like if a player can't go left, I'm going to force him left. Like, why should I not take advantage of somebody else's weakness? That's all it is. It's strategy. It's a strategic move. Learn how to hit your free throws, and we wouldn't even be having this problem.
That is true. That's the truth of the matter. Chris, you up next, man.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in on them, and I'm going to piggyback off of Ryan's comments because, you know, I got a couple coaches in the family, and the one thing they say is attack the weakness. So, I mean, hey, man, you don't practice free throws, you want to practice your dunking and your blocking, that's good and all, but if you can't shoot free throws, why should not be able to exploit that while we're in the game? You know, so them changing
very
the
true,
rules,
no love.
Is it something I agree with it? No. I mean, it's a weakness, bro. You want to stop it, fix it.
So you're saying
it's gone,
hit your free throws.
Exactly. You don't hit your free throws, that's your fault.
We're going to let Tay come in next. Tay said, you ain't got no coaches, Chris.
He got no damn coaches in the family. Shut up. No, for real, I do agree with both Ryan and Chris said, for real. For me, it's a bittersweet thing, for lack of a better word. I love the way it is because of the fact that, yeah, like, man, like Ryan said, man, if you can't hit your free throws, that's not my problem. Like, if that's all I got to do to gain a competitive advantage over you, you know, then I'm going to make sure I'm going to exploit that weakness. But on the flip side of things, I can't stand when a team only does that. Now, if you only doing that and that's the only way you're going to gain this competitive advantage and you can't win any other way other than doing that, then I got a problem because I think you're weak. You know, you don't deserve this win. Like, so like I said, I see both sides of it for me. Like, man, look, but for real though, I'm not gonna say I ain't gonna lie though. If you can't shoot your free throws, and all I'm not gonna do is foul you, and not gonna win. I mean, I'm gonna take it. I ain't gonna lie, I'll take it.
And I would too. Meet you next. Got something different or the same?
I think it should be tweaked. I'm not going to say all the way change it. I think in certain parts of the game, I think they're starting to try to, like, tweak it. The way I feel about it is, I mean, if we all the way going to say, you know, earn it, then I feel like the NBA already has, you know, already made it easier by every time out in the last, like, 2 minutes, you get to advance the ball to the second, you know what I'm saying, to the front court. So, I mean, if we're going to tweak other stuff, then we can still tweak it. I understand that, you know, the game is the game, and people got to hit free throws. But if we're going to tweak it to where people ain't got to dribble the ball all the full length of the court, we can also, you know, tweak this.
That is true. I don't want to see that all game.
Yeah, like the fans don't have to watch us. Like, you know what I'm saying, DeAndre Jordan missed 20 free throws a game. I'm not saying see that. Like, I don't want to see that. So, you know, I do understand that, you know, that the will of the game, the nature of the game, but at the same time, we can still tweak it to where, you know, it could be a game where fans can still enjoy it. So I do think it should be tweaked. Now, all the way eliminating it, I don't like that per se, because like you said, you're letting them off the hook. But I do think it should be tweaked to certain parts of the game and where it's not allowed in other parts.
All right, we got 4 minutes and 30 seconds left for guests to call in. The call-in number is 646-721-9573. Again, that's 646-721-9573. Got about 4 minutes and 15 seconds worth of live, but we're going to keep on going a little bit more, finish this conversation off. I'm opening the lines for the last conversation we're talking about, and that's going to be our predictions for the rest of the NBA season. I know a lot of people got favorites and opinions, but let's get some bold predictions, you know, some things that are going to happen that people ain't really expecting, you know, or something just in your gut that you got an opinion on and you think that that's really going to happen.
So, quick question: what about the buddies?
Man, go ahead with that. That's exactly what I mean. I really wanted to wait until after we got done with this one to speak on that, but I also wanted to speak
on that.
Okay,
they can go. I just wanted to make sure we touched on it, but they can go.
And what Ryan is talking about is that.
Worth.
All right, go ahead.
What'd you say?
I was saying what Ryan is talking about is basically. Don't let him talk to you like that, Ryan. He's just a host.
No, I mean, I don't really have anything. Like I said, my bold prediction is really my surprise thing. So, I mean, I said that earlier. I don't really have nothing different to go off of that.
My bold prediction is that it's going to be an injury to the Golden State. It's going to be somebody like Klay Thompson or Michael Curry. And then in the revenge of karma, the Dallas Mavericks and the HD is going to upset the Golden State in the first round of the playoffs, leaving the San Antonio Spurs to go to the finals and beat the Cavs in the sixth game. Tim Duncan retires, MVP of the finals.
Wow.
Retired.
Wow, that is terrible.
Wow.
As much as you don't want to see that haggis shot,
I got a bold prediction too,
Leach.
I got a bold prediction that you're going to pay somebody to take somebody out on the Golden State Warriors, which is going to translate into all that stuff you just mentioned.
Wow.
That's what I got a prediction about.
Wow. Just for our viewers, the views expressed on this radio show are not the views that are inspired by AZ Visual Media, AZ Visual Studio, and its affiliates.
Man, what you said? We practiced beforehand. What you saying?
Practice? We talking about practice?
Oh, my bad. I wasn't supposed to say that. My bad.
We got 2 minutes left.
How the hell am I supposed to make y'all better by going to practice? Yeah, we got 2 minutes of live, but it's going to keep on recording, so let's just keep going.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but for the bowl team, for the East, I think what the Wizards are sitting in the 10th spot right now. I think they're going to make it into the playoffs, for real, for real. I mean, Detroit doing good, but I can see Detroit slipping out, for the moment. So, you know, I can definitely see
I'm sorry.
I definitely can see Wizards making their way into the playoffs. So I'll definitely say that. But.
Now, I'll tell you, you're just saying that because of the Wizards beat the Cavs.
I mean, no, not really just because they beat the Cavs, though, because, I mean, honestly, I mean, I'm not saying that they – I can't say that they've been doing bad, you know, this year. Like, I mean, granted, yeah, they sit in the 10th spot, man, but they got a nice team. Like, I can see John Wall going off on any given night. You know, you still got Otto Porter. You still got a
They just picked up J.J. Hickson.
Oh, yeah, they going down. Never mind. I recant that statement.
Terrible. You know you only like that because you're a Cleveland player. You only like that because you're a Cleveland player.
That's sad. No, it's because you're a Canadian player.
Damn.
Oh.
Hey, real quick. No, I didn't know that. So the Cavs without LeBron just lost to the 10th seeded team in the East. Are you serious?
Go ahead.
Okay, fair. Got blew out by 20 by the people that ain't even in the playoffs. And you're oh my God, that's terrible. Are you serious? Are you serious, bro?
Come on, let's get up on your job. You should have already known that.
Hey, yo, I'm hanging up, yo. I'm about to drink, yo. This is crazy.
about to drink? I've been drinking this whole time.
Oh, I had to put that be cool on you. All right. So, Ryan was mentioning it earlier, but yeah, the last thing I wanted to speak on as we're going off here, we just went off like a few seconds ago. What I like to call the buddy athlete thing, you know, a few years ago, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and, you know, LeBron got together to create a team, basically. You know, they were sick of losing, and they thought that bringing their talents together could bring them some success. Eventually, it did. Now, I'm not saying that they were wrong for that, but my question to y'all is, is that good for the NBA that athletes are starting to, like, the best athletes are starting to buddy up and pick and choose and go to their teams? Or do y'all like the more classic way of starting a team, maybe like the Spurs and the Warriors do?
I never agreed with that method, man. Like, you got to go create you a power team with your real friend who's another, you know, better player in the NBA, like, just to go ahead and get you a ring. Like, man, come on, man. You able to do that without it, man. Like, so I never agree with that. I think it's weak. I don't respect any team that's ever done that. You know, I don't respect any rings that they got, you know, as a result from doing that. So them two rings LeBron got, I don't respect them, man. I don't respect that two rings that Wade got. I don't respect none of that, man. But now if it's another person, Shaq and Wade, I give them that. You know, it's like other teams, I give you that. But like Wade and Bron and Bosh going together to get a whole wing, man, two rings, that was weak. That's weak. I don't think that was the same thing. I really feel like they wouldn't like Paul Pierce called up Ray Allen and called up Kevin Garnett, like, oh, yeah, hey, we all going to go up there and get up here in Boston and do that. No, I think that was more of a team, you know, a front office type of move rather than, you know, the players trying to get together.
It was. KG was traded. Ray Allen was traded for.
Right.
Ultimately, LeBron did do a sign. Wasn't that a sign and trade?
No, man, we got a radical
over here.
Yeah, there it go. Here it comes. No, man, sure, man, you too nice, man. No, explain yourself. It was better when the white man makes a move than when the player do it themselves, it is bad. When the GM do it, it's all cool. What? That doesn't make any sense to me. What?
No, speak your mind. Look, me personally, I don't think as far as competitive it is for players to leave their teams, especially the way that LeBron did. I understand if LeBron was doing terrible in Cleveland, but he left a team that had the best record in the East. You know, you got to have Let me finish. I'm going to have to hit him with the mute one time. Let me finish. Just for him to be a player that is touted as the best, you know, he calls himself the king. You know, he's 4-time MVP, you know, all of this. For him to leave his team, his 66-win team, to go to another team because they seemingly have more help than he had, you know, that's not – you know, that's not that competitive spirit that I see out of most athletes, out of some of the greatest players, out of basically all of the greatest players that the game has seen. It worked for him. I mean, I'm not hating on him for that, but I'm just saying I don't like that in my player. Like, I wouldn't have liked being a LeBron fan. I wouldn't have liked for him to do that. I would have liked for him to win in Cleveland as opposed to leaving and going with Dwayne Wade. Then trying to come back now, and now that he got two rings, you know it's all about getting one for the land.
Oh, my God. Okay, can I talk now? Okay. So now let me go ahead and call all – no, let me go ahead and prove all your hypocrisy. Let me go ahead and prove all your hypocrisy. So now, this is the hypocrisy that I'll be talking about on the text. So now you say that you want to see your player do it. So now, when Michael Jordan was not making it off the first round, he had what? A GM that went and got him, Scottie Pippen, right? A great player that played alongside him. When LeBron couldn't get to the finals, who did they get him? They got him Ben Wallace. At the end of his career, they got him Shaq. At the end of career, LeBron James didn't lead a touted team that was so stacked, where he was like where he had help, to where they carried him. He got tired of carrying bum to the finals. Now, yo, the person that you covet so greatly, Kobe Bryant, I recall him losing in the first round with no help. And I recall somebody crying to their GM saying, if you don't get me help, I'm leaving. I'll request a trade. Then I recall the league, David Stern allowing this cheap trade where the Memphis Grizzlies traded away their best player for boom order to make L.A. a power again. I remember that. So So now you're faulting LeBron for the GM not being good when your players who you say stuck around cried that they're about to leave until their GM did something? That makes no sense to me. Like, so you're mad at LeBron because the Cavs are a terrible organization and he went and got his ring. He didn't leave his legacy up to the Cavs like Charles Barkley did, like Gary Payton did, like all these other greats who don't get no rings did. He actually could report himself like, you know what, I'm going to go get my ring for myself. So you fought him for that. That's crazy to me. I don't understand it.
I had to cut him off, man. He was going just a little bit too long, and I wanted to get some other opinions in there just real quick. I understand his opinion, and I'm not going to go back and forth with him, so I'm going to let somebody else get in really quick.
Well, I agree, too. Like, I've been saying that ever since LeBron left. I'm like, you cannot fault this man. Like, he was really playing with the guys who was at the end of their career. And, like, it's not – and like you said, it's not like he was on – a team like he would have been on a team with Dwayne Wade or Chris Bosh, and they had plenty of people, and he just left. He left a team that didn't have anybody. If his team was so good and so stacked, they wouldn't have fell to the bottom once he left. They would have still did something. Like, that just showed, like, it was all LeBron. It was LeBron or nothing else. And they was trying to get bums at the end of their career. Like, that's terrible. There's no loyalty in sports as it is. So, like, at the end of the day, if something was to happen, you know what I'm saying, something was to happen, these GMs or whatever, they don't have loyalty to the player. They'll cut you real quick. So why should he have loyalty towards them? Like, at the end of the day, you got to go after what you want to be judged off of, championships. And I really don't think the buddy system is that bad, because it's like, if you do it all the way up into the pros, kids do it in high school. Kids do it in college. They recruit players like that. Oh, tell your friend why he should come here. But it's like, once you get to the pros, it's like, oh, we don't want that to happen. But you did it. You train people to do it their whole life. Then you get to the pros and say, oh, no, we want y'all to be arch enemies. Makes no sense.
Hey, let me jump in on that, man. Pause. Ryan, man. I completely understand what you said about training up your whole life to do that type of stuff. But I'm sorry, man. Like, in the past, man, you know, with Michael Jordan and all these other great players, like, man, you went Michael Jordan, like me said Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen, I'm sorry, like, he wasn't a superstar by himself. You got Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, two of the top players in the NBA, going and teaming up with themselves. If you just not that, if your team not that good, your upper management is not that good to get you the right players, I'm sorry, take the L. I understand it's a whole different story talking about taking the L in your career and not getting a ring, but a lot of people have done it, and a lot of people still considered a great player, and a lot of people still getting in the Hall of Fame and ain't got no ring. So it's not exactly a bad thing. I understand you want that ring. That's cool, but it's been done before where, okay, hey, we just didn't have enough help to get us there. But I'm still considered one of the best players that ever played the game. So that's why I think that's weak for him to go and join up with another superstar to go ahead and get that ring when it's been done in the past where people were able to do it without another complete superstar that's a superstar on a whole other team by themselves. I think it's weak, man.
If I can jump in real quick, man.
Go ahead.
Shook Maestro, you might as well jump in there real quick. I mean, I'm a fight on the other side of the train tracks with Tate, man. I mean, I'm looking at it like this on two fronts. Obviously, first off, the competitive front where, I mean, I'm sorry, all the greats in the past, a lot of them are going on record on shows saying that if they could go back and make a decision, could they go play with a Michael Jordan? Could they go play with a Charles Barkley? Would they leave? No. So I look at it that way, and I look at it as a grown man move, and I respect that. But on the second front, I'm looking at it like a fan. I mean, who wants to go see all these powerhouse teams whoop on each other and then see all these, excuse my language, a bunch of shitty-ass teams at the bottom of the list? Like, nobody wants to see that. Like, look at the Lakers now. No offense, Shug. Nobody wants to see the Cavs go play the Lakers with the Lakers being like shit. But if you got all these members on, I want to say, all these members on select teams, you got this shit show up and down the league. It's going to be the same teams in the final every year. The same outcome every year.
Exactly.
And that's my competitive message is boring as fuck. And then as a fan, why do I want to pay
exactly.
to watch that?
Exactly. Let me just say something off of that. Because, now, I agree with your point, Ryan. I agree. I even agree with Meech's point a lot, a whole lot. But he's skewing it. You know, it's not that we don't want – it's not that I don't want LeBron to be in control of his future and in control of his own career. In fact, that part, you know, I really like about LeBron. I really like for athletes to do that. You know, I'm not saying, you know, to give more power to the owners, to give more power to the GM. What I'm saying is from as a fan, you know, watching basketball and seeing the competitors. One of the reasons Jordan and the Bulls won and they kept winning, you know, not only was because they had a lot of consistency, they kept a good coach, they kept the right players on the team, but Jordan was very, very competitive. You know, he had probably players that he was buddies with, probably players he would want to play with. He probably didn't have as much help. When the GMs went out and got him players, he wasn't asking him to go get him Patrick Ewing. He wasn't asking for Hakeem or Larry Bird, not go get Magic. He's just saying, give me the pieces, players that I can compete with, players that I can play with, players who actually want to play. You know, it's not wrong to request better players. What I'm saying is it's uncompetitive. It's uncompetitive to say, you know, I mean, he's saying, like, Kobe requested a trade in L.A. They were losing. They were losing in the first round. And they had no business even almost being in the playoffs. They were the 8th seed, 7th seed in the West those 2 years they lost to the Suns. LeBron left the number 1 seed in the East after losing in 6 games to the Celtics. The year prior, they had lost in the conference final to Orlando. And a year before that, they had actually went to the finals, or am I mistaken? It was, you know, something around that, I believe. They were in the finals conversation just about every year. At the end of the day, it comes down to your play. You know, you play, you win. Be competitive enough to say, you know, I want to win. I want to play the best. I want to go through. I want to beat the best. Not just I want to play with the best so I can beat the best. You know what I'm saying?
No.
I understand
this
both sides.
This is
corn,
crazy.
Go ahead.
That's crazy. Like, it just don't make no sense. Like, if you, what you're failing to realize is that the only reason why LeBron's situation got so blown up is because it was the decision. Players
that's true.
Do this every single year. Kobe asked, he was talking to Chris Paul, him and Chris Paul. When Melo was a free agent, he wanted Melo. He was talking to Melo. They was flying, having dinner with each other. Like, nobody made
That's
a
true.
Big deal about it because they didn't have that whole decision thing, and then they was cocky about it when they got to Miami. Teams do this every single year. Every single year, they call up each other. The players call up each other like, hey, you know what I'm saying? Where are you going? What you doing? Dwight Howard did it. You know what I'm saying? Like, players, that's the same exact thing. There is no difference. It's only a big issue, people saying that you're chasing after a ring, but everybody does it. Everybody goes out to get free agents so that they can do what? Win. Like, that's the object, is to win. And the only difference is you just saying, like, oh, it was LeBron and he